He's amazing. He works with us, you know. We're not easy to work with. He's easy to work with. We're not. We get in his way a lot. We get in his way and we don't know we're in his way. He has to put up with our issues. Amen. Very easy to step into his line of things. It's very easy to get over into what he does. You don't know you're doing it. It's not just an outward action. A lot of it's internal action. It's an internalization of things. And when we step into his line of things, it grieves him. And when he's grieved, he doesn't show up like you want him to. Amen? It's kind of a catch-22. So we have to learn to work with him. He's very sensitive, so you got to find out what makes him happy and what grieves him. Amen? That goes not just for services. That's for your household, your home, your walk, your business. God's going to anoint your calling for what you do. He's going to anoint you by grace. And he'll put up with you in that anointing. But when it's time to graduate, you'll have to address the things that he's asking you to address. If you don't, you're not going higher. You're going to go around the mountain again. And you'll keep going around that mountain and keep going. And sometimes you'll stay around that thing too long, amen? And sometimes you'll get broken at that mountain. He doesn't really want to lead you into brokenness. Sometimes we don't give him any other choice, amen? He'd rather just lead you through a process of transformation and with a yielded heart. But there's sometimes, they don't call them strongholds for nothing, amen? They call them strongholds because they're strongholds. The biggest issue of a stronghold is your blindness towards it. There's nobody in here that'll believe that they've got full-blown strongholds. Because everybody believes the original lie that the devil told Adam, you're going to be perfect. You know? You find out you're very much imperfect. It's okay to be imperfect as long as you're surrendering that imperfection to God. Amen? Would you hide the imperfection? Because you don't want anybody to think you're imperfect. They'll see it anyway. Amen. Got quiet in here. They're going to see it anyway. God sees it. Nothing can be hidden from him. Amen. But when you come to the place you can really surrender it, not just with words, you can't surrender something you can't see. Doesn't matter if 50 people can scream it at you. 100 people. But you can't surrender something you cannot see. Strongholds are normally a very big blind spot within you. They're not with everybody around you. They can see it, but you can't see it. And until you can see it, now God's not going to address all your issues at one time, but the thing he's addressing, he's going to give light to it. And if you want to graduate where you are, you're going to have to pay attention to what it is he wants to change. Graduation is not just a more anointing. Graduation's transformation too. So for every cycle that you're in, you're going to have to find out what it is he wants. He's going to be adding and multiplying. He's going to be subtracting and dividing. He's usually subtracting you, dividing you, and then he's adding himself. If you don't let him add himself to you, and for God to add himself to you means something in you's got to give. The Holy Spirit won't compete. He waits for your surrender. He'll show it to you, but he'll create such an overwhelming desire to want to graduate, to be at the next level, to be in the next place. Your heart will so burn for it. Your spirit will burn for it, but your flesh won't want to give way. And that's where your war comes, that internal war. And until the flesh gives way and it's crucified, and that's a permanent change, it's not a temporary, until that area gets crucified and you're able to get authority over it. Seeing is one thing, and then you get authority over it by applying God's word and the laws of transformation. Then what happens, once he buries that thing in baptism, you automatically start graduating. Spirit of God will come up over your life. He'll make things happen for you, but it's not easy. I mean, sometimes you got to just bite the bullet. This is not my message. I'm trying to get there, but it's a good message. Hallelujah. You get placed in a position that's going to be very uncomfortable for you. You get a choice to sit and be crucified, or you're going to run. If you run, you'll end up addressing the issue again with a different circumstance. It might be the same person or whatever you're doing, but you're going to address the issue because you can't run from yourself. Amen? I was a runner in the beginning, man. I didn't run from church to church. I ran from state to state. I'd run from Houston, Tulsa, to Memphis, to Austin, back to Houston, then to Dallas, and then back to Houston. Of course, you didn't have any of those problems, did you? Praise the Lord. You either let him conquer your runnings. Christianity is not being about putting in a perfect position. You're going to be put in difficult situations, and you'll be placed around difficult people. Part of being placed around difficult people is not to judge them. It's to expose some of your issues. If you think God's going to give you a perfect set of circumstances, he's not. I remember God gave me just a layman for a boss. I didn't like the guy. He didn't like me. But God was blessing me so much. I'm like, God delivered me. He delivered me and I got another one. And it's not until he worked out something in me that God made things easier. So God sometimes got to iron stuff out in you. And if he's ironing things out, you can't run from it. You can if you want, but you're going to get right back into that situation. 6 months, year later, you'll be put right back in the place. The best thing is to surrender to the refiner's fire. Be immovable. Don't be moved out of your position. When you get moved out of your position, you think you're getting a temporary comfort. But you're going to go through more. You don't know that. Because if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure with him. I had to learn that the very hard way. I'm still learning it. It's so glorious when you let him have it, though. Amen. How many of you know the time when you let him have it? When he gets what he wants. The glory that comes when God gets what he wants. The freedom and the liberty. Wow. He's going to come into your stuff. I don't have any stuff. You're the one he's after. He's going to come right up in there. It's not always going to be needling, but there's going to be time God's going to needle into that way. He is going to get in there. He'll get right up in your grill. Amen. And he's going to work and work. And there's going to be some discomfort. And people are going to make you uncomfortable. He's going to work on that thing called the love walk. Amen. The best thing you can do after you're through kicking the wall and throwing a fit and murmuring and complaining and telling God how hard you have it. The best thing you can do, don't try to do it yourself, but just acknowledge that you might not be perfect. That there might be something that person that's exposing in you. There might be that difficult person around you might be exposing something up in you. Maybe he's after your reaction. Maybe getting a lot of amens here. Praise the Lord. But the way to do it, there is help. Say there's help. It's not just surrendering and laying down as a doormat. That's not what God's doing. You have to receive God's help. God will help you. If you'll work with his program, he'll help you. But you got to work with him. Amen. You got to receive his help. And you can't receive his help if you don't think anything's wrong. Because then you'll just defend your position. I've defended some things for a long time. Well, when did you defend? It doesn't matter what I'm defending. It matters what you're defending. As long as you're defending that position, the defense mechanism comes up because that's the way you protect that hurt. But that defense mechanism is not going to transform that weakness in your life. It's going to keep it there. Until you lower that guard and trust the Lord. When you lower the guard and acknowledge, hey, I've got an issue here. I need a tissue. I need a lot of tissues for my issues. Until you lower that guard and acknowledge that, and then you can ask for his help. Because then he's going to come in with creative dunamis power to help you. You can receive dunamis power on the behalf of your issue. You don't have to change. He's not going to ask you to change on your own. He's going to ask you to acknowledge it and see it. Amen. And it doesn't do you any good to be telling everybody their stuff, because if God doesn't show it to them, you can tell them all day long. They're not going to change that. Amen. You're going to have to let God, if you want them to change, pray for them. Amen. The quickest way to change somebody else is change yourself. This is when you change it, and God will go start changing that other stuff. Amen. Everyone say amen. Turn to Zechariah chapter 4. I'm going to introduce something to you today. another operation of the lampstand. Very important operation because it is what is to come. This is about to be released corporately on the body of Christ globally. And God will, before he does something, he'll send forth his word. Amen. And so he's sending forth his word. Glory to God. So I'm going to talk to you about the golden lampstand today. I'm going to talk to you the aspect of the rest. Say the rest. Now the golden lampstand is all about the operations of seven. Seven spirits of God, seven horns, seven eyes, the seven pillars of wisdom, seven pillars of apostolic government, seven continents of the earth. He deals his foreknowledge in 7-year increments. There's a lot of different sevens. But I want to talk to you about the seventh day of rest. God sat down and he rested. The lampstand is the rest of God. Now, listen to this. Let's look at verse 1, Zechariah 4. The angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I've looked. And behold, a candlestick, all of gold, and a bowl on the top of it, and seven lamps, the seven pipes. There's seven eyes also." See, seven lamps, seven pipes, seven eyes. Seven eyes are on down into the chapter, which are on the top thereof, and the two olive trees, one by the right side of the bowl, one upon the left. We know that's the king and the priest, or what we call the king-priest government. And I answered and spake the angel talking to me and said, "What are these?" And he said, the angel that talked with me answered and said to me, "Knowest thou now what these to be?" And I said, "No." So he's asking, what am I looking at? What is this lampstand? What am I looking at? Notice the very first explanation of the lampstand. It is the foundation of the lampstand. Notice what he says here. And he answered and spake unto me, verse 6. He says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying," here's the very first explanation of what this lampstand is, "saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit." So whatever he's looking at, he says, whatever you're looking at will not be accomplished by you. It'll accomplish through you, but it won't be accomplished by you. And though you will try, it will not be accomplished in the flesh. Not one ounce of it, not one part of it. I've been carrying this particular chapter for 25 years, and oh, how have I tried to manifest it. And I can tell you right now, not one ounce of it, not one part of it has manifested except revelation. Because it's still something to come. It's not going to be produced by human sufficiency. And as I was praying about this, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me yesterday. He's taught us a lot over the years into the rest of God. He's given us some very powerful revelations when it concerns the rest and the understanding of God's operation. He said something to me yesterday. He said, "This is the most important part of the entire operation of the lampstand." As we know what the lampstand is, it is the final light of God to the world. The book of Revelation picks it up in chapter 4. John saw when he got caught up into heaven, he saw it burning in the right hand of God. He looked at it, saw the seven lamps burning. He said, "This is seven spirits of God. This is the operation of the Holy Spirit." Then he sees it again in chapter 5. It's operations. It gets released in chapter 6. God's going to manifest the operations of it. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out again like he was poured out in the early church. This time he's going to pour out a whole other aspect of the kingdom of God. The lampstand is in multiple operations. There's multiple revelations, and there's multiple revelations of seven. But he says, whatever I'm going to do, whatever you're looking at, will not be done by might or power. It's going to be done by my spirit, or by the seven spirits of God. The Holy Spirit is going to manifest this. The Holy Spirit's going to bring it into the earth. The Holy Spirit is going to bring it out of the right hand of God. Notice what he says again in verse 7. He says, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become leveled ground." Before this word, he's saying, whatever mountains are standing in the way of this will become leveled ground. God's going to level the mountains. I'm going to submit to you that the body of Christ corporately is going to be carrying this lampstand, its first testimony anyway. And then the two witnesses will carry its second testimony, and the 144,000 witnesses will carry its third testimony. We've already taught into that. But I want to submit something to you with the mountains that are presently there. Listen, God has no problem toppling mountains that are in the world system. You ever know when God gets loose, He can move things fast. Some of the greatest mountains that are standing in the way are not the ones out there, the one God's going to deal with, because the Holy Ghost is going to deal with those. Amen? The mountains, the greater mountains, are the one within us. Hello? Some of the greater mountains that God ever moving is getting you out of the way. That's why He first said it's not by might, not by power. And He says your mountains, your sycamine trees, your roots, your strongholds, the corporate strongholds, individual strongholds, everyone is in a process of preparation for what is to come. You're operating your present anointing, but there is something that's going to come out of heaven. It's a commissioned work, and He's preparing us for it. And He's going to topple the mountains that are standing in the way. And that means our mountains. God is in the process of removing some stuff. If He's working on you, join the club. Look at your neighbor and say, join the club. He's working on some serious stuff. Let Him work on it, amen? Work with Him and let Him have it. Let Him get what He wants, because graduation is near. And usually God's going to graduate you when He gets the most serious thing in your life. When He gets it, He's going to graduate you. You know, the one you've worked on and worked on and worked on and worked on some more. That one thing that keeps agitating you, that one thing that keeps agitating everybody else around you, that one thing you hate as much as everybody else hates, but you don't know how to topple that thing, that great mountain. Before this vision, before this word, it's going to become level ground. And you're going to cry what? Grace, grace. Say grace, grace to the mountain. They that receive the abundance of grace will reign in this life. Grace is going to help you win that battle. Grace is going to move you out of the way. Hallelujah. God's greatest generals of old, He had to move them out of the way. Some of them spent longer time than others on the backside of the desert. Joseph, about 12 years. David, about 13 years in the wilderness. Moses, 40 years. Abraham, 25 years. He had to work with them, because when God gets ready to do something on an international scale, He's not going to do it through your performance syndrome. He's not going to do it by way of you. He's going to remove you from the equation, but then he's going to do it through you. But once He's removed all the things that are in the way, and when you're beginning, you don't know what's in the way. You just think you're ready. How many, when God gave you your word, you said, I'm ready. 3 days after God gave you word, in 25 years, you're still carrying that same word. And you're like, God, what do you want from me? He wants you out of the way. But you can't move yourself out of the way. People can't move yourself out of the way. God's going to do that by way of process. Bible says Abraham had what? 2 sons. You all have the capacity for Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac would be born of promise, but he would not be born until all of that capacity was purged out of the way. Abraham has huge capacity in this area. We don't see all these men for their faults and failures now. We see them for the glory of what they did. We don't see David as a murderer and an adulterer. We see him for the glory of what he did. We see Abraham from the glory of birthing Isaac. We don't see Moses as a murderer, taking things in his own hands and killing that Egyptian. He was a deliverer. He wanted to deliver his people, but he did it the wrong way. His flesh activated. And as soon as his flesh activated, God said, that won't do. It took him 40 years. I'd imagine there was a lot that he had to get out of the way with Moses. Well, how long do I have to be? I don't know. Everybody's different. However long it takes to get you out of the way. Well, I don't want to get out of the way. Then you will not rule and reign with him like this. Because it's going to be not by might. Say, not by might. Not by power. But by my spirit. But he's going to operate with you all along the way because he takes some things in doses. And as he gets them in doses, he increases himself. It's more of him and less of you. I must decrease, he must increase. But as he increases, so does your authority. So does the operation of the kingdom of God. Amen. So does your love, the peace, the glory, the joy, the fullness. See, when God gets his, you know, the devastating thing is that God working things and he's removing something and you've made the change and people still look at you the way you were. You ever seen that? I'm not that person anymore. But they see you that way because they're locked into something. But God already made the change and you're all free and they're bound. Hello. I remember some people that left the church in the early days here and boy, they probably saw a lot. That's their picture of you. They think you're still that person. And like, you're not that person. Doesn't do you any good to go explain it to them. Well, they're going to believe what they're going to believe, but that's not who you are. Don't lock people up in your perception of them because they may have changed. You don't know it. You might not believe it, but they have anyway. Amen. Give people a break. Amen. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, give me a break. Go to Hebrews 4. Praise the Lord. I didn't want to jump off on all this. Holy Ghost is jumping off in it. Praise the Lord. It's easier to teach on your stuff once God is delivering you from it. You notice you don't teach on your stuff when you're protecting it. You're hiding. But once God deals with it, you're free to tell everybody. Because you're free. Everybody been free? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, the only one you got to impress in this life is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they're quite impressed with you already. Amen. Nobody loves like they do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4 verse 4 says, for he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. So when he finished the works, he sat down. And he's in a position of rest. The only thing that got him back up is the redemption of humanity. Christ came up. He paid the price. Offered his blood upon the mercy seat and sat back down. So the seated position always represents the rest of God or the finished work. It is finished from the works were finished what? From the foundation of the world. So God has finished the work before he even begins your life. He finishes it. He called you into a finished work before you even began. He calls you in to be where he is in that rest. The enter into the rest is to approach where he is in that finished work and to be transformed along the way until all of you comes to rest in what he's done. Amen. Now, there are going to be things in your life that are going to get in his way, but you don't know they're getting in his way. Because you can't see that that thing is in his way. That's just part of growing. And as you grow, the Holy Spirit's going to show you different things that are in the way. He's going to show you different things about your life that's in the way. Some things you'll want to look at, some things you won't want to look at. Some things it's going to take breaking to have that area transform. But inevitably, God's design is to move you into the rest or into harmony with what he's already done. He's going to move you, your actions, reactions, behavior patterns, and the systems of thoughts that govern it. The system of thoughts is the internal things. The actions, reactions, behavior patterns are the external things. Both internal and external have to come into harmony with God. And when there's internal disharmony, it's because there's an area that's not been submitted to him. When you're submitted and brought into harmony, when God brings those areas, you will know that you're there. You will know that those things have been surrendered because peace will be the result. Amen. Harmony will be the result of an internal harmony. But when you have internal struggle, anxiety, agitation, it can produce all kinds of things. It can produce fear. It'll produce control. Hello. Yeah, there it is. Oh, there it is. And because of those things, it'll keep you agitated. And when you're agitated, there's something that's not brought to rest. When you have consistent agitation, consistent frustration, consistent disharmony, you're not brought into the rest yet. He's telling you, you're not seeing what it is I'm trying to show you. Because if you're running, you're definitely not looking. If you're hiding, you're not looking. If you're defending, you're not looking. You'll defend or run, one of the two. Either one of those, that struggle's going to go with you. It's going to be evident to your life. It's hard sometime. The things that we do, because the enemy's empowering systems of thoughts. That's what a stronghold is. But exalting yourself against the knowledge of Christ, it's a system of thought. That's the internal thing that's been born in you. That's causing an action, a reaction, a behavior pattern in your life. And it's consistent. And it's keeping you from graduation, keeping us from graduating. We want to graduate because we think we know what's going to graduate. If I can just get more anointing, I'll graduate. God said, if you'll let me have that area, I'll graduate you. But that's hard to give. Some of those things stay a long time, I know. You know, when Chuck would visit my house unannounced, I know he'd have something to tell me. He was so nice about it. The best way to change is humble yourself. It's hard to do when you don't think anything's wrong with you. Hello. When it's everybody else's fault but your own. A person who can't repent is going to have a boatload of trouble in their life. Feels good in here now, don't it? We're meddling all up in everything. So God wants us to enter into his rest. Notice what he says about this. Verse 6, seeing there remaineth that some must enter therein, they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of what? Unbelief. Again, he limited a certain time. Verse 7, a certain day saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today if you hear his voice, harden not what? Your hearts. Don't harden yourself. You won't get very far. I got it together. I can do this. No, you can't. For if Jesus, actually Joshua, he's speaking the promised land. Promised land was a type of rest we all enter into. Now, we enter in the rest when we're born again, but that's just one level. The rest has many levels. Have you figured that out yet? You might be operating in rest in one area, and then God's operating a whole nother. Because every time he brings you to a new level of transformation, you're going to move into a new level of rest with him. And when you do, it'll be less of you and more of him. He's going to do more for you and more through you. He's going to increase your authority and effectiveness and the anointing upon your life. But Joshua had given them rest, then would have not afterward been spoken of him another day. But see, David comes along and he speaks of the rest again. So Joshua, that if the promised land was the rest, it was the foreshadowing of God's rest. We're always moving into God's rest, always moving into the seated position where we sit down. You remember when the Lord multiplied the bread and the fish? What's the first thing he did? He sat the men down because we're doers. Sometimes he's going to have to set the doing down in order for him to get something done. There's a lot of activity in the kingdom of God right now. But that activity is not getting the job done. Not in our cities, in our nation. If you've seen, darkness is growing at a monumental pace right now. In many different facets and areas. The church as a whole is sleeping. We've got so much activity and so much doing and so much, but it's not hitting the mark. Because the church hasn't come into the full transformation of what God's looking for so he can give a mantle, an anointing to get the job done. But this mantle's coming, this light that's coming will not be accomplished by our might. So the requirement of it by default is we're going to have to die to that. We're going to have to enter into this rest and those things are going to have to be crucified. We're going to enter into the rest. We're going to let him have it. And the ones who let him have it are going to rule and reign with him. And the ones who don't are going to watch the others rule and reign. What's coming is a corporate move of God. The white horse will be ridden corporately. Does it matter if you have any skill, talent, ability. God takes the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He's not looking for your expertise. He's looking for the yieldedness of your spirit and your heart. He's looking for the capacity of your rest. He's looking for the capacity. What was he looking for Abraham the whole time? What was he looking for? He wanted to get Abraham out of the way. Abraham had an issue. Tried to get God to do it by Eleazar, remember? Abraham knew there was a promise, but it's how he was interacting with that promise was the problem. How many of you got a promise? Raise your hand. Everybody's full of promise. It's how you go about manifesting that. Because you can get up in his way. And you get in big trouble getting his way. Abraham's still dealing. We're dealing with Abraham's trouble. But we all honor Abraham. We love him. But we're dealing with his trouble today. And that trouble is going to come to a full hedge. Is Isaac and Ishmael going to come to a full hedge in the last hour? It's just the way it is when you're given authority. Listen to this. Verse 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I love this scripture right here. Not an easy one, but I love it. Verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, the Lord's rest, God's rest, entered into it. Here's the qualification. He ceased what? From his own. He don't cease from works. He cease from your own works. It's either your works and there's God's works. It says, if it be of grace, it's no longer but works. But if it be of works, it's no longer of grace. What did he say about the lampstand? He would cry, grace, grace. Mountains would be moved by grace. And he would cry, grace, grace unto the mountains. Say, grace, grace unto the mountains. He ceases from his own work. See, he moves into the seat of his. God's always moving you towards that end goal. You get that by seeking God. You get that by getting close to him. Being close to God is an awesome thing, but being close to God means you're going to be moving into his light. To move in his light means he's going to expose the hidden things. That's just the nature of it. The closer you get, he's going to deal with things in your life. Don't be amazed when God unravels something in your life. The closer you get, no matter how mature you are, the deeper he's going to go. It's not just going to be one big joyride when you get close to God. You're going to get come into the light. Your stuff is going to be brought forth. Do you see that? He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern and divide asunder spirit and soul and joints and marrow. The word's going to divide that stuff for you. All things are open and naked before the eyes of him who have to do. God's going to do that for you when you're close to him, when you keep his word. He's going to separate that stuff. Amen. Some things that have been a part of your life for a long time are not going to separate overnight. It's going to take some process. If you're in the middle of a process, don't beat yourself up because people will do that for you. Trust me, they will. But work with it. Keep your eyes fixed on God. Don't sit and run around with condemnation all the time because God's working on something. Because when he's working on it, he's going to bring it to the forefront. Believe me, you're going to see it. When he brings it to the forefront like that, you're going to feel ugly. You're going to feel like, am I even saved? There might be people tell you, you're not even saved. The devil will certainly scream it to you. That's the time you need to be, I am the righteousness of God of Christ. That's the time you got to know who you are. I'm a son and I'm just in a process. Give it to him. Because when the refiner's firing the fuller soap and when that sword goes in to carve out and to remove, he's going to get it thoroughly. Amen. When God gets it, it's not going to rise a second time. Amen. If it be by grace, it's no more of works. He's got to remove those things. Now, go to Luke 5. There's a very powerful operation. This is a major testimony here. The Lord was with his disciples, but it shows very clearly how God can enter your life with the kingdom of God. And it shows a very real difference between our works and the works of the kingdom and how God could enter into your life where you are, not change anything about what you're doing, but change how you're doing it. Amen? There's no better picture, I think, in the Word of God than this one that describes the operation of grace and works. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it said, it came to pass, that's your struggle, say, it came to pass. It came to pass. As the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. Isn't that amazing? There was two of them there. Two ships, two olive trees, two rivers, king, priest, government. Now, let's throw that out there. Let you meditate on it. And the fishermen were gone out of them. Now, notice the Lord did not approach those boats when they were fishermen were all up in them. He always waits until you're done. Amen? Not only they were done, they weren't sitting there having a cup of coffee. They were gone out. They were done. God waits till you're done before he gets ready to do something. But isn't it amazing? Once you're done, God comes back into the very thing you're done in. That done you in. He puts you back in that thing that done you in. God's not about delivering you. I would imagine the fishermen at this point, because they had toiled all night, they're going to go on and say, we toiled all the night. Because he tells them, let's go back out. And they say, Master, we toiled all night, we caught nothing. You would think that you toiled all night, you've been toiling for 30 years and caught nothing. It's a time for a change. The last thing you want to do is get back in the boat that you've been in miserable in for the last 30 years. Last thing you want to get back in the boat that's produced nothing for you. God, you're going to put me back in that boat? Nothing happens when I'm in that boat. Give me something new. That's the answer, God. I know it. And then imagine how our mind works. The answer is give me something new. And God sometimes will give you something new. It's awesome new. But this situation, God will come in right where you're at. But he's going to change the dynamics of what you're doing. Amen. Verse 3, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Simon had some attitude. Simon was very immature when God found him. Loved God. Full of zeal. Opened his mouth way too much. All the time, sticking his foot in his mouth, jumping out when he wasn't supposed to jump out, talking when he wasn't supposed to talk. God said, I can use you. You'll do just fine, Peter. Peter wasn't the most mature of them. He was probably the least mature, but he loved God. He loved him a lot. And he chose Peter's boat, the one that he'd gone out of. I wouldn't imagine Peter wanted to get back in that boat. And he said, let's pray you would thrust out a little from the land. Come on out, Peter, from the land. And he takes him out from the land. Notice what he does. He changes the purpose. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. So do you let God into your business? Change the purpose of your business. See, God's not just going to come in your business and launch you out in the deep. He's going to change the purpose for which your business exists. Amen? He's got to change your purpose. He's going to make you kingdom-focused, kingdom-minded, kingdom operation. Listen, if you haven't learned your business is all about the kingdom, and you think one day when God gives me multiple $1,000,000, then I'll give. If you're not giving now, you won't give then. If your heart is not rich towards God now, you think it's going to get rich then? Your wants will increase right up to it. You know how easy it is to spend multiple millions of dollars? You don't think so. When you're making 80, 100,000 a year, and you know how easy it is? Ask sports stars how easy it is. They get $50 million contracts and they're broke in 6 years. Broke. They found out real easy the world will supply anything you want at the right price. Amen? So he had to readjust the purpose. Before he went out, he adjusted the purpose of his ship. Because now your ship is a gospel ship. We're going to preach the gospel. You think, Peter, what is he doing? Does he not know this is my business? Why are we parked here? What is he talking about? He's talking to these people. We should go out. But God readjusted his purpose. And that's what he's doing in your refining fire, readjusting your purpose. Because it's very easy to get off-centered in your purpose. It's very easy to get off-centered. God's going to recenter, refocus, recalibrate, realign. He's going to always be doing that. Might as well just work with him when he does it. Those of you that have been around a while, you know when he's in the process of realigning, you just know how to surrender because you know it's too painful not to. Those have not and think your life's still your own. You think you're going to go up into the Holy of Holies and then just think you're going to go live your life the way you want to? It would have been better if you never got up in the Holy of Holies in the first place, because now you're accountable. You don't know you're accountable, but you're going to find out. You're accountable to stay where you are, because if any man draws back from where I put them, my soul will have no pleasure. You're going to have to stay. Everyone say stay. You're going to have some staying power. If you don't have it, there's going to be some pain coming. I ever wonder why people, you know, they know God, they show up for church, you know, twice a month, once a month. Usually a church didn't have anything much, you know, just easy. And they just seem like they got a life easy. It doesn't seem like God ever messes with them. Do you notice? He just leaves them alone. And then you got people that show up into the meat, into the glory, and all hell breaks loose on their life. Everything. God's always up in the grill. And you're looking at, why don't you do that with him? Why are you doing it to me? Why are you always picking on me, God? And I've already given you enough already. You want my shoes too? It's like he wants everything from you. I'm like, why don't you ever ask them for anything? They get life all free and easy. Has that ever happened? You ever think like that? Has that ever happened? You look at your neighbor. Yeah, I'm the only one that ever happened to, huh? Look at your neighbor like, you're not ever picking on them. You know what he told me one day? He said, they don't even have a capacity to go there, son. It wouldn't even do me any good to lead them there. They have no capacity for it whatsoever. Whereas you have not only the capacity to be there, but to go so much further than where you were. And because your capacity to go so much further than where I even got you, I'm going to work with you and work with you and work with you. And I'm not going to give you a leash like I give them where they can run around 500 yards from me, 500 miles. I'm going to put you on a 1 foot leash. And every time you get 1 foot away from me, I'll jerk the chain. I'll jerk the chain so it keeps you next to me. So when you get your chain jerked, I got to go back in. You'll appreciate it over time. Because what will happen, you'll keep growing in the light and transforming into the things of God. And you'll think all the stuff they have when God never bothered them, they don't have anything. They're empty and they're void. It's like Joseph's brothers, let them have a free ride. Joseph didn't get a free ride. Who did God honor more? In the end, Joseph. But he had to be prepared for that honor. Amen? Just because someone's getting a free ride doesn't mean anything. Maybe they have no capacity whatsoever to sit where you sit. Don't measure yourself in the light of other people. Measure your heart in the light of where God wants you to be. If he wants you to sit in the high places, and you'll have to learn to stay there. Because if you're destined to live in the high places, and when you get there, you're going to have to learn to stay there. Because now it's your call. You don't get the luxury of moving in and out like they did. They never made it to the top of the mountain. You did. Amen. He sat down. When he was finished teaching, let's go out into the deep. So when he left speaking, he said to Simon in verse 4, launch out into the deep now, Simon. Let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night. We've caught nothing. And the Lord said, yeah, we're in the same boat. Now get this. The night before, it was all about Peter, all about his operation, all about works, all about sweat of the brow, all about doing it the way man's way of doing it. God takes the same boat in a 24-hour period, and the kingdom enters into the boat. Doesn't even change the boat. Just needed man to be done with himself. And when man was done with himself, the Lord enters back into the boat. And when he enters back into the boat, changes the priority of the boat all in a 24-hour period. Listen, when God gets ready to do something, the kingdom of God can advance quickly. When the kingdom moves, it'll advance quickly. Quickly. He moved the power of that boat and transitioned it within a 12-hour period, transitioned that boat, then launched him out into the, and they caught such a catch of fish that the partner boats were starting to fill up now. It was starting to multiply the fish. Verse 8, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Now, this boat was full of fish. They filled not only Peter's boat, the other boat. They're standing on fish. Peter looks at this. This is a kingdom manifestation of the grace of God. It's a kingdom of grace, and it's manifesting God's glory out on the high seas, and he's filling the boats. They had never seen anything like that. Peter falls on his knees on the fish, sitting before God. He said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. In the midst of the manifestation of God's glory under the kingdom finance, there was a kingdom finance manifestation right there. It was such a manifestation that took place in less than a 24-hour period. God transitioned everything. God didn't require a lot. He just needs you to be done with yourself. Now, that might take 40 years. It might take 12 years. It might take 13 with David, 12 with Joseph, 40 with Moses, 25 with Abraham. You might be on the 10-year plan, 20-year plan, 30-year plan, 40-year plan, or you might be on the 24-hour plan. Because you don't know when you've reached the end, but he does. You think you've reached the end because you've been broken, but if that stuff's still there, he's not done yet until he's done processing you. I'm telling you, I remember the day he launched me in the full-time ministry. He got what he was looking for. It took him 10 years, and the day he did it, he graduated me that day. Once God gets what he's looking for, he'll graduate you. He knows there's an appointed time to deal with your stuff. He knows it's not going to be dealt with overnight. He loves you the whole time. He doesn't see you in the light of all that. But when he gets ready to move you to the next level, he's going to reach in, open you up, and show it to you and say, no, this is not going there. That part's going to be buried in baptism. Amen? So if you're in the process right now, and you're in the refiner's fire right now, you might think because of what the enemy and all this stuff and everything that's going on around, you might think you're failing and you might be under condemnation or guilt or shame. You might be 24 hours from God stepping into your boat. You might be being positioned right now for graduation. Because it's not all just about dying and processing. There's a graduation that comes from it. I'm going to say something about you. Brad came here. God opened a job for him. He moved down here, and his employer wasn't a nice man at all. But he submitted to him over and over and over again, over and over again. To his own hurt, he submitted. He was accused of things, and he kept submitting and kept submitting while people were getting fired left and right. And after the owner had fired everybody, he told Brad to start firing people now. He had to stay in there, stay in there, and think everything's going to change. And then he gets a phone call right in the middle of it all. One day he's submitting to all this. One day he's in pain. He's just submitting because I remember he called me and said, you know, I don't like it, but I'm submitting to it. He told me, because I've got to find joy in this. Counting it all joy. And then all of a sudden that day came. Just tell him what happened.
Well, probably the biggest thing was the day that he was firing people left and right. One day the Lord said to me, I was in the hallway, and I said, this is crazy. He says, you're not going to leave here till I'm ready. He says, not even you are going to get yourself out of this. He says, you might as well just stay here. I got betrayed by everybody. I'd call LaRue and say, do you know what's going on? It was just unbelievable. I got a text from one of the finest people I'd ever known, who I used to work for back in the day. And she had something going on. And you just sometimes don't know when God's going to do something. And whenever he's saying it'll come overnight, and you don't expect it. It'll come overnight, and you don't expect it. So I was actually dealing with clients, and my ex-boss calls and said, can we talk for a minute? And I said, well, I've got clients here. He goes, well, call me afterwards. And I was driving home at 8:30 at night because that's when I usually went home. I worked 12 to 13 to 14 hours a day because I told him I would do it. And God required me to do that. And it was terrible. So to make a long story short, he tells me as I'm driving home, the guy that was closest to me, the guy at work that I was a peer with, had totally betrayed me and purchased the company and then didn't want me to stay. And said, not only that, but we're done. We're going to shut Houston down. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm driving through town. And the Holy Ghost goes, how about, what's her name? So I called her, and in 20 minutes, she matched what I was making plus more, plus gave me the freedom to travel, to do whatever I wanted to do. And I can tell you, it happens literally overnight when it happens, because it was the worst day of my life. And in 20 minutes, God had literally put me on the other end of the universe.
Ah, isn't that good? And one of the parts he didn't say, but while he was working there, he calls me, I don't want to do this no more. He probably wanted to run 50 times, and God made him sit there, but that came, his deliverance came in 20 minutes. Now he's freedom to run, go and run his own schedule and everything, just perfect. But that's the way it is with God. And so you don't know when the Lord's going to enter your boat like that. But I just feel like telling some of you, don't run. And don't beat yourself up because you're in the middle of a difficult situation, but just bear it up. Because the same afflictions are being accomplished by others too. You're not alone in that. But know that God's coming. He's got a plan. He gave him another job. And sometimes God will come right up into your boat where you are and shift it all and change. He'll change the dynamic. But let him have what he's looking for and surrender to him.